Before we continue our worship in a lesson from God's Word, we'll sing hymn number 264. 264. Number 396. 396. Let me bid you welcome again. And priest, say I appreciate your attendance very, very much. It's always good, just good to get together. So we're glad that you're here today. The lesson comes partly from the scripture that was read to us, but it's really the entire book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the last of the prophets in the Old Testament. Then after Malachi, as you know, there's a period of approximately 400 years where God does not send a prophet to speak to his people. After this book of Malachi, in the 400 years, then the New Testament, or the life of John the Baptist and Jesus, is introduced, and we have the life of Christ and then the New Testament. But let me give you a little bit of the background concerning Malachi and his sermon to God's people. You almost want to ask the question, God, what do you have in mind? What's the last thing you want to say to your people before the next 400 years take place? So we look in the setting, the city of Jerusalem is in ruins. The walls have been broken down. The temple and the houses have been burned. Everything of value had been taken away. Other nations are living in this area of Jerusalem. The Jews have now returned after being in captivity for 70 years. And then they have a list of these things. The Cyrus, the king of Persia, has issued a decree. He's in Babylon. He says, all right, you Jews, the people that I've taken captive, you can go back to Jerusalem now. And so there's a list of people that are going back to Jerusalem. A man named Zerubbabel goes back to rebuild the temple. You have Haggai and Zechariah, and they're going to encourage the people to finish the work of rebuilding the temple. You have Ezra, he goes back and informs the people to live right. Let's reestablish the laws in the life of the people that have now come back to Jerusalem. You have Nehemiah going back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then Malachi, he's a fellow worker of all of these other prophets and God's people. It's a tremendous, a missionary team that's in Jerusalem to reestablish God in the lives of his people. In our lesson this morning, seven times, Malachi points out an obvious flaw in the life of God's people. the last chapter of Malachi, his closing statements. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, Malachi says, remember the law of Moses. He says, and the statutes and the judgments. So Malachi reminds his people, there's a right way, in other words, God's way to live and to build your lives. God's way. So think about, put that situation again. God, what's the last thing after you've been with your people for 4,500 years? What do you want to say before there's 400 years of silence when you don't send a prophet to the people? Malachi, remind them to observe the law, the statutes, and the ordinances. It's a timely message. Put in your notes, the Apostle Paul gives us a lesson, and he says, what's the one purpose of these Old Testament stories? He said they were written for our learning. Another place says they're written for our admonition. Meaning Paul is saying to his audience, the Apostle Paul says to his New Testament audience, sit up and take notice of what happened in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul reminds the people that the Old Testament is of still value. He says, I want you to take notice. I don't want you to diminish the things that happened to God's people in the Old Testament. Listen, he says, Paul says, to what God said to them. So we're going to look at these things. And here Malachi, this last prophet of the Old Testament, God's preacher, he's going to answer all the arguments that the people have for not obeying God. Seven times. Malachi preaches a lesson, and they respond, really? We did that? Really? You're accusing us of that? They're saying, I don't see it. But Malachi is preaching God's word, and that's his introduction. So you look at the outline. I didn't have room to put my notes, but I just gave you the scriptures for those seven times Malachi preaches to his people. And number one, he says, God says, I've loved you. And the people say, really? God, you really loved us? Wow. Second, Malachi says, priest, you despise my name. The priests say, really? How have we done that? Number three, Malachi says, you've offered polluted bread. They said, really? We've done that? Really? They don't believe it. Number four, Malachi says, you, by the word of the Lord, you've wearied the Lord with your words. Really? How have we wearied the Lord with our words? Malachi answers it. Number five, Malachi says, you've gone away from the ordinances. God wants you to return. They said, return from, almost like, return from what? I feel like I'm okay. Number six, Malachi says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. They said, how have we robbed you, God? Malachi answers the question. Then the last one, Malachi says, thus saith the Lord, your words have been stout against me. You've spoken against me. Really? How have we spoken against you? Malachi answers it. Seems like the same lesson can be preached today to a generation of God's people in our world. So let's take each in turn. Number one. Vernon, I should have broken this down in two lessons. I can't really spend on seven things, not enough time on each one that I would like to. So maybe we'll come back to this at another time. But let me just give you the thought. First of all, chapter 1, verse 1 is in your notes. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. All right, it's God's word. Malachi's not making this up. Malachi's not saying, oh, you know, I think this is a good idea. Malachi's not saying, oh, this might be a good lesson to teach. No. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, number one, verse one. I've loved you, says the Lord. And you say, wherein or in what way have you loved us, really? 4,500 years, he'd go back. Malachi could remind them, let me go back to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Let me tell you about Joseph. Let me tell you about Moses leading the children out of Egypt. Let me tell you about Moses leading them to the promised land. Let me tell you about Moses and leading God's people and feeding them and providing them for 40 years. Let me tell you about Joshua leading them into the promised land. Let me tell you about the judges I sent. Let me tell you about the kings I sent. Let me tell you about the prophets I sent. For 4,500 years I've blessed you, given you, provided for you. And yet you say, in what way have you loved me? Their memory was short. So I ask us, make the lesson. Is our memory short? Are you going to say God doesn't love you? Are you going to say, God, how have you loved me? God's proven himself. He's given us even in creation. Proverbs 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament shows his handiwork. God's blessed us, sunshine, rain, everything we see in our creation. Blessed us. He's blessed us with his grace. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus says, greater love is no man than this. What's the best love? The man that lays down his life for others. That's what Jesus did. God, you love me? Oh, yeah. John 3, 16, God so loved the world, he gave his son. God, you love me? Yeah. Your memory's not short, is it? You're not going to say to God, of you love me. In Romans 5 verse 8, God commends his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Ephesians 1 verse 1 or verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We lack nothing to get us from here to heaven. God's provided everything for us. There's nothing that we need other than what God has already provided. How can I say, God, do you really love me? Can't do that. That's what Malachi's audience was saying. I've loved you, says the Lord. He said, really? Really? You can't plead ignorance about God's love. Number two, I can say, Vern, I'm going to have to move. I get 7 points in. Chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, servant his master. So God says, if I'm the father, where's my honor? If I'm the master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. They said, these are the priests. These are the religious people. He said, where have we despised your name? Wow. Malachi gives two illustrations about God's grace and what God wants from us. He wants honor as a father, as a son should honor the father. He wants obedience as a servant should obey the master. So he wants the priest to not despise his. That didn't show proper respect for God. They said, now, how have we despised your name? For us, we despise God's name. We said, oh, I'm not going to despise God's name. I'm not going to be disgusted with God's name. I'm not going to cast it aside. Yeah. But if you obey God, if you've given God honor, that's one way that God's name is despised. Second, when salvation is gained by another name, you try to gain your salvation through Muhammad or Hinduism or somebody or something else. When the Bible says in Acts 4:19, nor there's not salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You're going to despise God's name by saying, I'm going to be saved another way? Oh my. Yeah, God's name's despised. I'm Roman tonight. Jesus, in John chapter 6, Jesus gave a hard saying. And when the disciples heard Jesus' message, some of them went back and they didn't walk anymore with him. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? And it's in John chapter 6, beginning of verse 66. So Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? It's a great question. If you leave God, who are you going to go to? Oprah Winfrey? A lot of people look to her for their spiritual advisor. Oh my. I say it, how stupid. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've also come to believe and know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you despise God's name by not giving him honor, by not giving him obedience, by trying to find salvation in some other way? Will you despise God's name by thinking everything in your life is by chance or by luck? By good fortune, why don't you say we're blessed? Amen. We're blessed. James says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variance or shadow cast by turning. Again, Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You're going to despise the name of God by not giving God the glory for the good things that take place in your life. Yeah. We can look at these things in Malachi, things that he says, look at your notes and think, oh, I wouldn't do that, but oh yes, we have. That's what the people were thinking. I'm all right. I'm okay. Number 3, in verse 7, well, you've offered polluted bread on the altar. And you say, where have we polluted thee? Well, Malachi answers the question. Don read it in the scripture this morning. He says in verse 8, oh, when you've offered the blind as a sacrifice, isn't that evil? When you've offered the lame and the sick, isn't that evil? If you'd offered that to the governor, would you think the governor would be pleased? Polluted bread. They said, God, yeah, I'll give you a sacrifice. Of course, what I'm going to give you is old and stale and crusty. Yeah, I'll give you a sacrifice. I'll give you a blind lamb. I'll give you a lamb that's sickly. I'll give you a lamb that's lame. I'm God, I'm giving to you, but it's certainly not the best. And that's what the people were saying. God, you want sacrifice? I'm giving you sacrifice. God, you want you want bread? I'll give you bread. Well, of course, it's day old. So what are you giving to God? You're going to give God that which is polluted? People were reasoning God doesn't actually eat the meat anyway. Why not give him bad meat? They're probably saying to themselves, you know, it's the thought that counts. I'll give him a sickly lamb. The thought that counts, I'm giving back to God. They're probably reasoning within themselves like we reason in ourselves. Well, it's still a sacrifice, isn't it? Yeah. But God could see their hearts. They were sinful. They were selfish. They were self-serving. They wanted a religion that didn't require very much of them. They were giving God the extra or whatever was laid to the side. Here, God, take this. And they didn't see anything wrong with it. So that's what Malachi says. You've offered God that which is polluted. And they say, really? We're just giving him that which was over here or over there. So are you going to offer God that which is polluted? Think of it first in your youth. Are you going to wait till you're old to give God your service, your life? You're going to waste your life in pursuit of other things before you give your life to God? And yet God said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God wants you while you're young. There's just a couple things in the Bible that where God directs commandments to young people. I have this written three times. God directly speaks to youth because sometimes you young people think, oh, God's not speaking to me. He's talking to the adults, or he's talking to mom and dad. He's talking to the older people. But no, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, God says to the young people, I want you to remember me while you're young. While you're young. In Ephesians chapter 6, direct command to the young people. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, direct command to children. Not to the old people, to children. Don't wait to give your life to God till you're older. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, children. Only three times God directs a commandment to children in the Bible. He said, I want you to remember me, obey your parents, and honor your parents. Direct charge to young people. Don't wait till you're old and give God that which is well spent. Don't do that. I've got to go to my next page. You offer to God that which is polluted when you don't give him your best. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. When your hand finds time to worship, I want you to give it your best. Give it all your might. When your hand finds time to minister, to serve, to bless somebody else, give it all your might. You're going to have to do it now while you live. Because the verse continues, for there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you're going. If you're going to give your life, give your service, give your ministry to God, you'll have to do it while you're living. While you're living. Don't give God that which is polluted. Second best. That which is just laying aside over there. The admonition in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Don't give God that which is polluted and say, well, my faith is good enough right here. I don't need to add anything to it. No. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. To your virtue knowledge. To your knowledge self-control. Then perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. For if these things are yours and abound, don't give God less than an abundance. Give God that which abounds. Are you going to offer God that which is polluted? That which is, oh, okay, I'll give this. Okay, that doesn't matter much. But I'm giving to God. God, I'm giving. You can see that, can't you? That's what they're thinking. God wants your best. And then Peter says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. That's what the people were saying. They're wondering, I'm giving that which is polluted. Malachi said, oh, you sure are. You're giving him sick lambs and stale bread. But I'm giving God a lamb and bread. Wow. I have to go on. Number 4, chapter 2, verse 17. You've wearied me with your words, says the Lord. Seven things, and you think, wow. You've wearied me with your words, and you say, whoa, how have we wearied you? Well, Malachi tells them earlier in the verse. Now, this is in verse 17, but you go back to verse 2. You're not hearing, and you're not taking it to heart to give glory to my name. Well, that would weary anybody. Somebody trying to give you a lesson, give you some instruction, and you're saying, no, I'm closing my ears. And I'm not going to take it to heart, and I'm not going to give you any glory. Wow. Said in verse 8, you've departed from the way. You've caused other people to stumble. You know, someone is looking to you as an example. Nobody here is left out. Someone is watching you and looking to you. And they see you. They hear you. And that's what the people were doing. They're not going to hear. They're not going to take it to heart. Not give God the glory. Verse 8, you've departed from the way. You've caused many to stumble. Verse 14, he adds to the list. You wonder, they're saying, how have we wearied you? Here's your list. Verse 14, you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you've dealt treacherously. So now he's talking to the husbands and to the husbands in how they treated their wives. And God says, you've wearied me in the way you've treated that marriage. Verse 17, in that you say, everyone who does evil is good. Oh, mercy. We have people in our generation that do that, don't we? We have people in our generation that call, they're saying, oh, that evil and wickedness is good. Malachi goes on telling his people, you want to know how you wearied the Lord? Because you said, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and that God delights in them. Calling that which is wicked, well, that's a good thing. And God really likes that wickedness. No, he doesn't. God hates every wicked thing. Will we weary God with our words, with our promises? I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you how Malachi, what Malachi's sermon was. Number 5. Oh, man. From the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances. You haven't kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you. And they said, oh, how shall we return? So Malachi now says, you know, God's offering you a great opportunity for salvation. God is offering you that opportunity to get back on the right side, to gain God's favor. And that's what he's listing. You know, there's 7 things, at least in this lesson, Malachi's sermon, there's 7 things that you haven't done correctly. But God is still offering you an opportunity. God is showing them the error of their way, their wretchedness, and the things that led them away. And now he says, I want you to return. In verse 5, he says, you haven't feared me. Yeah, so come back. Come back. You know, the warnings abound even for us when we don't walk in God's ordinances. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. The obedience. He says, yeah, you can come back. But just because you say, Lord, Lord, doesn't get you into heaven or the kingdom. Do the will of my Father. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 3, why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord by your traditions? Why do you do that? It's not acceptable. In John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, that's a good thing. Jesus, don't mess it up. These Jews in your audience, they believe what you're saying. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, oh, just stop right there, Jesus. No, he goes on, he says, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples. Then. Not enough just to say, oh, God, I'm on your side. No, you have to abide. Stay. Hang on. Hold on. Hug it. Abide in my word. Then are you my disciples. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So these people have wearied God with their words. Same thing, we don't want to weary God with our words. We want to be sure we let people know on whose side we stand. Let people know to whom we belong. Malachi can preach the same lesson to us today. Paul, number 6. Will man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. It is really. We robbed you in tithes and offerings. Malachi couldn't believe that a people who have been so blessed would rob God. They'd given God pollution, so now they're thinking, not surprising that I don't give God my treasure. You see, in the Old Testament, they had to give a tithe and offerings. That tithe was the tenth part, Leviticus 27, verse 30. All the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. Their offerings were required throughout the year because the Levites, they didn't have the jobs in the field. The Levites were involved in the temple. They had to depend on everyone else to bring in the tithes and the offerings. And they didn't do it all the time. Said you're robbing God when you don't bring in your tithe and your offering. Says bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring all. That there may be food in my house. I know we live under the New Testament. But still, will a man rob God? Will you rob God of treasure? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, beginning of verse 6, I say unto you, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So let each one of you, as he purposed in his heart, there's your tithe and your offering. What have you purposed treasure-wise to give to God? Will you stop giving that? You purposed. God, count on me. Are you going to weary God with your words? God, it's my promise. I purposed this. I've made my pledge. Oh, but I'm not in attendance today, so I guess I don't have to give my pledge or my purpose. Is that what you're thinking? Just because you're not here today? Well, you're here today. You think God doesn't want you to honor your pledge and your purpose just because you're not in attendance for the worship assembly? Well, quit preaching, going to meddling now. Give purposely, not grudgingly or necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. God's able to make all grace abound to you. God's able to do that. Are you going to rob God of other treasure in your life? Meaning your time, your talent, your service, your example, your ministry, your stewardship. Well, the list can go on. Are you going to rob? Will a man rob God? Really? He said, yet you've robbed me. How have we robbed you? Oh, with tithes and offerings. You don't give God your talent, your service, your ministry. And the last one in your notes. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. You say, well, how have we spoken against you? All right, answer the question. How do you speak against God? And Malachi gives an answer. An illustration. How does one speak against God? And then this illustration, they've said, it's vain to serve the Lord. Is that what you say? Oh, God's not important in my life, really. Malachi is telling you differently by the word of God. You say, oh, it's a vain thing to serve God. Really? What profit is it that we keep his ordinances? It's right there. It's right in the verse. I'm reading the verse. That's what the people are saying. Oh, we call the proud people happy. Oh, Solomon said pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Yet you say, oh, we're going to call the proud people happy. They that work wickedness are set up and they tempt God. They're saying, oh, we're delivered? Really? Really? You gonna speak against God?
Yep, thinking, how am I doing that?
There's seven things. God, what's the last thing you want to say after 4,500 years of dealing with your people, giving them and blessing them and watching over them, being on their side? What's your last lesson? The lesson is you still haven't obeyed. You still haven't given God your best. That's his reminder. Always at the close of a lesson, just as Malachi, the word of God with Malachi to God's people who didn't measure up in seven different ways, says return. Return. God will always take his people back. Some people will say, my sins are too many. My sins are too horrible. My sins have been doing this for too long. God won't take me back. And the answer is yes, he will. Your sins might be too horrible. Your sins might be too many. Your sins might have been being done for too long a time. But God will take you back. That was his message. The word of the Lord by Malachi to God's people Israel, return. Seven horrible things, but God says return. I'll take you back. That's the invitation we extend. Whosoever will may come. The last words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father. In Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them by heaven's authority in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, verse 15, preach the gospel to every creature. Sound out the message. He that believes, count me in. Well, I believe. Oh, and is baptized, shall be saved. Amen. Salvation message. It's a salvation invitation. Let's stand together and we'll sing this song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. Number 396. You need to respond in a public way. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply let it be known at the close of this lesson. 396.